Milan Fashion Week is in full flow, having taken over from London last week. Can't wait for Paris next week. So completely wrapped up in the thrill of it all, we thought, what better time to look at the haute couture of the humble and sometimes stylish football kit? To try and distinguish between the fabulous and fashion faux pas, I was joined by John Blair, author of the recently published A Culture of Kits, the definitive guide to classic football shirt collecting.
The lines are really starting to blur. I mean, if we kind of think about the last kind of 5 to 10 years, it's really come to the fore. We're now in a situation where you've got these celebrities in LA going for their coffee in Roma shirts from the 90s, and genre of festival fashion at Glastonbury around football shirts has become its own thing. So we're definitely at that point, I think, where the intersection is really pronounced, and we're starting to see it become much more prominent than it was 20, 30 years ago, where it was almost a little bit socially, you know, unacceptable. If you're off to a family barbecue and you're in a football shirt, you might get the odd comment or raised eyebrow, whereas now, you know, it's been taken over by a different population and it has a different standing within society. So
now it's the height of fashion, the minute it becomes popular. What makes a kit then? I guess let's start with the colour. What makes something fashionable or iconic? How much of a role does colour have to play with it?
Yeah, I mean, the design in general is really important in terms of the cut, the collar, the sponsor plays a big role. I mean, unfortunately, now we're in an era where the sponsors can degradate to an extent in terms of the actual quality of the shirts. Is it a betting firm? Is it Bitcoin? Whatever it might be. Whereas you go back to the 90s, those sponsors were a lot more prominent in terms of Coca-Cola and 7-Up or Nintendo, early days of the computers and the cell phones and what have you. The collar itself, I mean, it's obviously team dependent. You tend to find the away shirts and the third shirts that designers have got a little bit more creative freedom with what they do with it. And so I think those are the ones that people really kind of gravitate towards. But, you know, these things go in cycles. The slick design, the clean design with not much on it can be popular one year. The next year, it's about bold colors and print designs. And we're seeing that at the moment with some of the Arsenal kits and Chelsea kits, etc. So it really does go in cycles. The one thing I would say is people talk a lot about design as being the kind of prominent feature in terms of what makes a shirt a classic. I always think that's a little bit of a misconception, because it really is tied much more, if you look at the data, to the moments that have occurred in that shirt. So is it the association with Maradona at Napoli that's elevated that shirt? Is it the Zidane headbutt? Is it the Eric Cantona kung fu kick? You know, those moments really stick in people's minds, and you tend to find those are the shirts that are really kind of elevated in terms of price and status, as they're associated with much bigger things.
Does it also, or is it also a reflection of the era? You know, we see fashion change, don't we? The 80s is suddenly back in. And then does that mean that those shirts from that era suddenly become fashionable again? Or we see clubs go towards that for their new designs?
Yeah, I mean, there is a theory about that, actually, that I cover in the book, but the kind of 30-year rule. So people around their kind of 30s to 40s are the ones that are prominent within radio, like yourself, television, design, fashion. And so they really kind of have the nostalgia for their youth. And so that's not surprising that it's the stuff from the 80s and 90s now that are coming back. To your point, though, in 20, 30 years' time, it's going to be the kits from this era or 2010 that's going to be much more prominent. And so these things do go in cycles, and it really depends who's got the pen from a design perspective and within the media as to what becomes more fashionable during that period.
So those reflections on what's a current theme, do we also see that in the kits too? Although I'm struggling to think why Manchester United ever thought it was fashionable to have shoelaces through their through their neck on theirs, although maybe it was a thing at the time.
I know that one hasn't come back yet. We haven't seen that, so that one's maybe, you know, left well alone. But yeah, there are others that have come back. The grandfather kit, Newcastle, the entertainers with Kevin Keegan in the mid-90s, those little button pieces, they're starting to come back. So yeah, you start to see these things kind of coming in cycles.
And innovation, does that play a part too? I'm thinking of, we now have kits bespoke for women's teams, for example.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, there's other parts to it as well. There's been a deviation of, if you go back 30, 40 years, there was one kit. The one you bought in the shop was the one the players were buying. Now you've got authentic versions. You've got stadium replicas. You've got sleeve patches with customization, different detailing on it. And so we're seeing kind of more innovation there. One of the really kind of cool things that we like within the community is, if you look at Barcelona, who have the big Spotify deal, they're changing the logo with the Rolling Stones being on there one week, and then the Drake logo. Inter Milan recently, with a Paramount Plus sponsor, changed it to the Transformers logo. So we're starting to see a little bit more kind of, you know, customization. And who knows, is that an era we're moving into? Or maybe it's not a sponsor for a season, it's a sponsor for five games, and then it changes to a different one as the clubs start to look for more revenue. So I'm sure that could be something that comes.
Hate to break it to you, but you are actually talking to a fashion icon when it comes to kit. I mean, I'm not, but my local team, Chelmsford City, brought in an actual fashion designer, Wayne Hemingway, to design our kit once. And I remember talking to him at the time, and he said he didn't want anything with sort of vomit of colour over it. He wanted it to be classic and simple. What would you say to anyone designing a kit about what they should look out for?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some influences they should draw on. So kind of fan involvement, which it sounds like you had with the Chelmsford piece, is always interesting. Looking at the back catalogue of what's already been done, what hasn't been done, what have been the pivotal moments in that club's kind of, you know, journey, and really kind of maybe kind of incorporating some of those elements. We've seen changes to badges. We've seen kind of player names embedded in the design, etc. Those are things to kind of take a look at. And then there's obviously some things to clearly avoid. And so if your local rival plays in a certain colour, then you're not going to kind of deploy that for your team. So that's definitely kind of something. There's a lot of factors that go into it. I think the designers have a really kind of tough time in a way, because they're having to predict out 2 years, sometimes 3 years on the designs. And so back to my earlier point, there's no way of knowing what those kits are going to be associated with. Is it a league title? Is it a relegation? And these kits, unfortunately, are obviously judged over a period of time. And some, regardless of how good the kit is or how good the design is, if the team got relegated, it's going to be bargain bin and forgotten about. Whereas if they win or there's a player moment, it's a kit that can live on, you know, forever in terms of the fans' memory of it.
I've never understood why all clubs just don't put out a couple of ideas to the fans first to say which is your favourite, because get the fans on board. They're the buyers, right?
Yeah, exactly. And there have been, I think, Dortmund, there's been a few clubs that have run competitions for fans to design kits, and that's always, you know, generates some kind of good buzz and interest. But yeah, that fan opinion is so important. And there's some kits, I mean, Adidas are kind of crushing it at the moment. Their World Cup kits are incredible. We've got the Euros coming up. We're starting to see some good designs. And so, you know, the designers and the manufacturers go on a bit of a run where they dominate. And again, it's another thing that kind of goes in cycles with, we're starting to see some of the more, you know, retro manufacturers, if you like, the Kappas, the Mabas, kind of come back into play as well as they become more prominent again.
Well, from one fashion icon to another, John, if you were to step out on the runway later at Milan Fashion Week, what would you wear? Which kit would you model?
I love the Serie A era of the 90s. I mean, Football Italia on Channel 4, very kind of accessible for a generation of fans that were kind of getting into football at that point. So I'd go with, let's go bold, let's go purple, Fiorentina, Nintendo, 1998, 1999. Beautiful shirt with a collar and then the red kind of iconic Nintendo sponsor.
I need to share something with you. Myself and producer Joel had a little moment, and he said you would say that one. He said I'm not saying you're predictable, John. Far from it. And is there one you wouldn't step out in? One that you think will be consigned to the history books forever?
Oh, I mean, there's been some wild designs recently. The one with a large prawn on the front. There's one with a tuxedo design. I mean, those are obviously trying to attention grabbing. I think it's those kind of wacky designs I would rather kind of try and avoid.
Well, John, enjoy Fashion Week. How far are we off having a football Fashion Week with them all on display?
No, that's a great point. I mean, there has been exhibitions and there's been some things in kind of London and various events, but, you know, a pure fashion event, I could see that happening. That's probably 2 or 3 years away, maybe, in terms of kind of that intersection and bringing those two eras together.
You, me, front row, discussing it all will be the critics' choice. John Blair, thank you so much for coming on the show.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
John Blair, author of the recently published A Culture of Kits, the definitive guide to classic football shirt collecting.